What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the show. It is another episode here of Action Movie Anatomy on the Popcorn Talk Network, and today we are talking about my favorite Star Wars movie ever made, Return of the Jedi. Get some!
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Action Movie Anatomy.
Boom! I was looking for the crow, the falcon.
Yeah, the eagle.
The eagle.
It's an eagle.
The eagle has landed. We're here.
We're the action guys.
We are the action guys, and we are here to talk to you about Star Wars. Oh, what a day. What an exciting day.
So 24 hours, honestly.
It's big. We got this one. We did a stream last night. We're seeing the new Star Wars movie tomorrow. We've got reviews coming. There's so much Star Wars this week and Cats.
And yes, you will be seeing Cats. I will not.
I will be seeing the movie Cats.
If my family asks to go see Cats on Christmas, I will. There's no way. There's so many other good movies out to watch. 1917.
What if your family was to say to you, "We're all going to the movies. With or without you, we're seeing Cats. And it's the holidays. We really would like you to join us."
God damn it. I can hear my mom or my sister saying that. I would go.
Where's the sound? You got sound on here coming?
Is it me?
Is there going to be a dramatic entrance right now?
Is this Cats?
Are there cats coming
are
in the studio?
Cats coming in?
I just wonder what would happen, because I know you love your family.
I do, and
it's the holidays.
I would 100% go. God, I would be so. I would get drunk though. First,
what's the likelihood it's going to happen?
Say there's a 60% chance.
Over 50%, you're gonna have to go see Cats.
My sisters love musicals, and I'm sure they love Cats.
Wow, I have a plus one to see Cats, and I texted our friend Mark Andreco, who is very opinionated about movies.
Oh, he is.
He is very opinionated about movies and loves musicals. And I texted him that I had a plus one to Cats, and he said, "Can we drink first?" And I thought he was kidding. So when I came in the studio today, Jeff Graham, producer here at the studio.
Good friend of ours.
Good friend. I said to Jeff, "Go to see Cats." And he said, "Do you have a plus one?" I was like, "I'm also seeing Star Wars the same day and haven't yet invited
anyone."
He's like,
"No, I asked you a question, though."
Yeah. Like, zero conflict. He's all in on Cats, not Star Wars.
Do you not have a plus? Are you not bringing anyone with you tomorrow?
I have now invited two people who couldn't go. Mm-hmm. I'm waiting to hear back on somebody today that I had invited.
And then the other people that are going tomorrow, you guys just have they have their own. You guys all be in the same screener together?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
2 p.m. Everybody's going before you.
I know. Now I feel a little left out.
You do?
Even though I'm excited to go to the 7 p.m. one?
Yeah.
You're going to know what happened and knows what happened in Cats before I even start watching the movie.
I'll be live tweeting Cats.
You can't do that.
No, you can't. You can't. Anyway, guys, that's enough about Cats. We're here to talk about Return of the Cats. We're here to talk about Return of the Jedi, my favorite Star Wars movie. This is Action Movie Anatomy, and this is the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network dedicated to talking movies, all things movie-related, and pop culture by the bucketful. It's our last show at the regularly scheduled time of the year. We are going to do one more show, and it's a weird one. So brace yourself for this, guys. I think we talked about it last week on the show, but Andrew and I are going to see Star Wars tomorrow, The Last Skywalker.
And then seeing Cats.
And we are gonna come here to the studio at midnight, and we are going to do a 12:01 full spoiler episode of Action Movie Anatomy talking about... what's the name of the new one? Actually,
The Rise of Skywalker.
The Rise of Skywalker.
Nice, got it.
And we're Mackenzie Davis.
Finally, Mackenzie Davis.
And we're gonna do a full at 12:01. So now we expect a lot of you guys, because you will not have seen Star Wars yet, will probably not want to watch.
I feel like
live.
No one's gonna watch it. And then I feel a little nervous. Ryan, chime in on this. I know in the title it's gonna say spoilers, right? And it's gonna be a full spoiler review. There's still gonna be Star Wars fans that find it and come in and freak out over us spoiling the movie.
There will be a contingency of fans that I think will try to murder us.
We need to expect that, right?
Yeah, it's just crazy, because it's like it feels like a lose-lose, but it has to be done.
I think in the end it's a win.
It is, exactly.
It's a short term, you're gonna get some flack, some people are gonna freak out, but at the end of the day, it was the right decision.
Yeah, and then hopefully by the time everyone does see the movie this weekend,
right,
they'll be like, "Oh, look, a full review's been up for a week in a nice studio."
Yeah,
with these guys.
We're hoping so.
So the comments and the thumbs down, though, who knows?
Now, the thing I will tell you guys is that if you want to see our first thoughts reviews that are non-spoiler, just if it's good or bad, on Action Industries, which is our personal YouTube channel, youtube.com/actionindustries, we're going to have a 5-minute first thoughts review we're going to do that'll go up, and it'll be also available at 12:01, but it will not be spoilers at all. So you guys can just know if we like it or we don't like it there. So that is the week. We are getting excited. We're going to be doing that, and then we go away for the holidays.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be interesting to have this be our last live show at the regular time for the year, and then obviously, as you just said, the show we're doing tomorrow. And then, yeah, I'm going to be out of town. You're going to be out of town, and we hope that you guys all enjoy your holidays with your family, your friends, and you know, we will miss you. But we'll be back at the beginning of the year. Today, I apparently cannot clear my throat. We are going to be talking about Ben's favorite Star Wars movie of all time, Return of the Jedi. And I, it's weird because you go, when I watched this movie again yesterday,
yeah,
I definitely can see, that's you this time, I can see through the holes. And you actually said something to me before we started taping today. You were like, you know, if I watched this at my age when it came out,
yeah,
I could have been more critical of it, I'm sure.
People have said that a lot about the original trilogy. It's one of the really interesting things that people have in the conversation about Star Wars is like, if, you know, if these movies were to come out today, if Empire Strikes Back was to come out today, people would pick it apart in the same way they pick apart all these movies.
Right.
Because it's just it's the reality of the world we live in. It's a different time. It's a, you know, we're, the expectations are different. And that is true. However, there's a lot about this movie that's great. And you, as long as you can get past the little things that fall short. And then, of course, you talked like it aged, the effects age badly.
Yeah, but the whole point of me bringing this up was what you said. You're like, I feel at home when I watch this movie. And I do, too. I loved watching these movies growing up, and I definitely feel like a kid whenever I turn the original three back on. And, you know, I was a little skeptical to see what was going to happen when I saw the Ewoks on Endor and all that, but I was totally into it.
Me
and
too.
And the honestly, I will say the only thing that I didn't really love was Han, or Han.
Yeah.
His character is so different in this movie. He's kind of whiny.
Yeah.
He needs always help. He's jealous of Luke the whole time, which isn't really cool or sexy.
I get you.
And it also feels like Ford didn't really want to be there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know the deep, deep, dark history of that, but it wouldn't surprise me. By the time this movie comes out, he's definitely in a different place in his career than these other actors.
Oh, yeah. He's...
Well, yeah. We'll talk about that a little bit when we get to, you know, star profiles. But we're gonna break down all that stuff, guys. We are going to be talking about our top five favorite things about Star Wars. Each of us has five we're going to be sharing today on the show. A couple quick shout-outs to Austin Howell and Alex Little. They are patrons. Patreon.com/TeamAction. We salute you guys. And then also, we have new patron generals in the Army. We have Oscar Romo and Liam Gilpin, so that's another big salute.
Generals.
Thank you guys
so much. Hopefully, the two of you can join us today for our generals hangout. The generals bunkle we'll be doing in a couple hours. Right before the action, guys. On the action, guys, I think we're going to be talking about our favorite movies of the decade.
I think we're going to be just doing the best, best 25 best of the decade kind of a deal.
Yeah, really exciting to do that.
Yeah, so we've been talking about that for a few weeks. I think it's finally time we knock that one out. But yes, we are going to talk about Return of the Jedi today. So, you know, the movies we cover here on Action Movie Anatomy, a theater kind of four basic rules. Rule number one, the hero always plays by their own rules. Luke, if he's the hero of Star Wars, the original trilogy, which I think... It feels like he's the hero of the original Star Wars trilogy, right? Luke Skywalker.
Yeah. Luke Skywalker is definitely the hero. And like when he comes into this movie, he's so like Neo in the second and third of the Matrixes.
Right, you know,
he walks in, he's wearing all dark, and he's doing the thing, and
he's like speaking so like diplomatically to Jabba. It's like an interesting choice, and it's awesome. I love it. And he does play by his own rules. He knows that he's going to say to Jabba what he wants. He's going to do whatever he wants.
Yep.
You know, and he really believes that once he goes to see the Emperor. But obviously the way that, you know, it happens, he definitely plays by his own rules. Rule number two, the hero and the villain are always the smartest people, beings, things, dinosaurs, what have you in the room. I mean, Luke knows the plan.
Yeah, I mean, if you're talking straight up like good guy, bad guy, Emperor and Luke, 100%. Hands down, without a doubt.
Yeah. Rule number three, the movie is driven by police, military, political, or mercenary figure. We've talked about this before. You know, they're Jedi are basically military.
Yeah.
Right?
They're the Knights of the Old Republic.
And then rule number four, the movie contains a minimum of one explosion. Lots and lots of exploding.
Support Ewoks.
Yeah.
Sad. Poor Ewoks. That moment was actually very sad.
When the one Ewok
when
dies.
When the one dies.
Yeah. Isn't it weird how guys in costumes... And that happening is so much more effective than anything that happens to the Gungans.
Yes.
I hate all
100%.
I hate every Gungan, and if they die, it doesn't feel like it matters because
like,
they're
good.
They're
kill
they're
them.
Computer characters.
Right.
They're not real at all. And they don't even look real.
And it's funny because even though these suits are clearly suits, they still feel more authentic.
Way more.
I don't know what it is. Like, I still, even watching yesterday, I was like, Ewoks could be cool. Oh, that could be real.
That's why JJ, when he came in to do Force Awakens. No, no, when he did Force Awakens, he wanted to use practical effects. That's why it's all puppets and stuff.
Yeah.
He knew. He learned his lesson. So anyway, God, my allergies, and I'm just,
I know. My voice crazy. Is 2 weeks in a row, like losing it 2 weeks ago, and then this last weekend, it's just rough.
Do we need to fly in some tissues?
That would be really great. That
Are you serious?
Great.
You need to?
I just am feeling myself.
I'm going to grab them. Light
oh,
speed.
Wow. God, Ryan. Oh, you hear that? He said light speed.
Light speed.
That's cool.
Nice.
It's a thing that they do in space.
So anyway, guys, we are going to get into the show. The very first thing that we do here on Action Movie Anatomy is that we talk about thesis statement. Now, this is your biggest, boldest thought about the film. It's something happens, and you just say, this is all I want to say about Return of the Jedi. It is the number one most important thing. It's the greatest, the first, the last, the only. Never should it be kind of loose. You want it to be almost like rooted in hyperbole. This is your biggest statement about the film.
This is amazing. Look at this guy. Look at this guy. Someone give this guy a raise.
I'm going to blow my nose while you do your thesis statement.
Okay, so my thesis statement is that Return of the Jedi has made me realize that not only is the Emperor the most underrated villain of all time, because he's always overshadowed by Darth Vader.
By Darth Vader.
100% always of the time, talking. Everyone's always like, if you talk about good guys and bad guys, no one mentions, I mean, not no one, but most everyone, especially the general public, they go Darth Vader, Luke Skywalker. That's what it is.
And also when you talk about like the greatest villains of all time list, mm-hmm. it's always like, you know, Hannibal Lecter, the Joker, Darth Vader, those are the villains. You don't see Emperor Palpatine usually next to Vader or ahead of him, ever.
And like Ian McDiarmid is maybe the best cast, I think he is just the best cast person in the entire saga, in all 9 films. I mean, obviously, I haven't seen the, you know, Rise of Skywalker yet, but it does feel like, I mean, James Earl Jones doing Darth's voice is amazing, but Incredible. It isn't as good in the newer movies.
No.
Not even close.
Not even close.
Whereas he is better than he was before, which is, it just seems impossible, because you go and you watch 4, 5, and 6, and you're like, wow, that is evil. That is the embodiment of evil. And then you watch 1, 2, and 3, and you're like, that's really cool to watch this corrupt-ass shithead of a politician become, and he's been a mole the whole time, and then, now, we're getting him again. Even just his voice in the newest trailer, I'm like, God, you're the best! You're just the best!
Unbelievable. Totally agree.
Yeah, I love him so much, and I think that he does not get enough love. Yeah, Darth takes it all.
I totally agree. We're going to talk a little bit more about our top 5 favorite things. And spoiler, you know, Ian McDiarmid as the Emperor is going to be in one of my top 5 things. I think it's so amazing. I've quoted his lines from this movie more times than I've quoted like most things in a movie. Mm-hmm. So many times, in fact, with my friends when we were growing up, that you would just keep doing it and be like, strike me down. And then you keep doing me, strike me down. And then it just like, sounds just like more Scottish. Like Scottish by the end of it. Laddie, strike me down. Anyway, I totally agree. So
he was 37 when he played Palpatine.
I have a controversial Insane. Thesis statement. And this is, I think people are going to.
This is interesting because I don't know what it is.
Yeah, people are going to. So you're thinking it's going to be something about this movie being bad. It's not. The single worst decision in the history of Star Wars is the song created for Jabba's sail barge. The CGI edition of the song in this movie is the single worst decision in the history of Star Wars. And I will defend what I'm saying. Because you
Even
guys
are, more than Hold Me by the Lakes and Naboo or whatever.
You guys are thinking Attack of the Clones. You guys are thinking Jake Lloyd. You're thinking Anakin Skywalker. But here's the thing. If you're going to make prequel movies and you convince me I'm going to show young Darth Vader, okay, I'm in. The casting is the casting. You had to cast somebody. Child actors are very often annoying.
Yeah.
Probably the child actor was going to be annoying no matter who it was. Hayden Christensen, he's awful. Okay? He's awful. But like, once again, you have to show the character. So it's a necessary evil. It's a bad casting choice. But
Mac Ryan is incredibly offended right now.
There is nothing. There is nothing about this that needed to ever exist.
No.
This is just go with me down this road for a second here, guys. Think about this. And I'm so sorry if you're the graphic designer who had to come up with this, because there was probably a year of your life that was spent creating this character.
You're like, holy shit, I just got the biggest job of my life.
Think about that. At our age, if one of us was to get the opportunity, like,
dude, for the next year, I get to just make a scene in Star Wars.
Yeah,
that's it.
Hey, you're going to write this scene. It's you need to communicate this important thing. It's in Return of the Jedi. It's your favorite Star Wars movie. You get to do this thing. Right? So you have to write the song or get someone to write the song. You have to get all the people to approve it. You have to decide that
on
this
those
guy
character designs.
In the far right here, who looks like he literally has a scrotum on his face. That's what he looks like. He looks like they're right?
It's a ball nose.
It looks like he has a ball nose. Somebody And like all the decisions of him being like ball ball chicken ball ball like
ball no chicken ball nose.
It's it is. I can remember the first time seeing this because here's the thing. When I watched Return of the Jedi, like the re-releases or whatever,
yeah,
I don't think it occurred to me that this was new. I think I knew it, like, because I had seen Return of the Jedi so many times.
Right.
But, like, this is, like, 99. I'm, like, you know, 11 years old. Like, it probably didn't occur to me how offensive it was or how stupid it was or how unnecessary it was. When I watched this as an adult, I just can't understand who... And think about how just devastated you would be if this was the thing you worked on. It shows up in the movie... And Lucas is like, yeah, that's a good idea. That turned out really well. I think it's great for me. I'm glad we decided to put that in the
ball
film.
Ball nose, chicken ball nose. I love it.
It's the worst thing that's ever happened to Star Wars. It's the worst decision anyone's ever made. I can't. Ryan, do you second this? Or?
You know, it's sad because I don't think this is the worst. I think there's some like racial issues with the prequels.
That's fair.
But this is, it's funny. I think. It's weird with movies that are this nostalgic. I think I just black out every time this happens when I watch this movie. Like, I just erase it. I kind of just check out.
Yeah, I did. I definitely did last night.
And every single time. So I don't even like remember the scene all too well because I never watch it.
You think about all the things they changed, right? So like I was thinking about this. The end of the movie, they show the different locations. They add in a few different locations they're celebrating because they're from the prequels. Hayden being there instead of old Darth Vader when he sees the Force ghost. Jabba and the thing in Star Wars when... Obviously, Greedo shooting first, all that, you know, it's character stuff, it matters. But again, I'm watching, unless I'm, like, totally zoned in on what makes Star Wars great and the characters and all that, if I'm, like, a kid, I'm showing this to my, niece or nephew, they're not going to notice that Greedo shoots first or care at all. They will notice this. You have to watch the scene. It takes, like, a minute and a half.
Yeah.
It's so offensive. I don't understand it.
What if the song was good, though? What if it was?
I just think it looks fake. He has a ball nose. He's made of computer graphics. Nose.
It's like when they do the moment in Aquaman. You're just like, why are we doing this? Why are these musical ceremonies a thing? And why can no one do them right?
I get it.
This one's real bad.
I understand what the point is, but this isn't even a musical ceremony.
I know.
It's a number in a bar.
We're like, yeah, but we need this.
It's like, what it makes me feel like is that Lucas is like, niece or something was like, you know, like 12 on a school project, and she was like, oh, look at the song I wrote, George. And he's like, let me put this in the movie.
There's a few people in the chat that are saying that it's not the worst moment. I challenge you to tell us what the worst moment is. If it's not that nose right there on that face, you tell me.
Oh yeah, she's
those are the
oh god.
So those are our thesis statements. I feel like they're both pretty good. I feel like they're both pretty solid.
Ball nose.
And now we're gonna move on to fist pump, which my fist pump's just that scene.
Yeah. All right, guys, that's going to be that. So we're going to move on to the next part of the show. Next part of the show is fist pump moment. This is when something happens. You look around. You're like, are you seeing this right now? This is the coolest thing I've ever seen. I'm so excited I get to watch the rest of this movie right now. You want to call your buddy. You want to tell him to turn the movie on. It's a special moment for you.
Yeah.
And this one's tough for me because it feels like often favorite line and fist pump, they end up kind of in the same territory. For me, though. And I've been saying this since I was, like, 15. The moment in the throne room scene after Luke cuts off Vader's hand.
Yep.
And...
Yes,
right? And the Emperor's winning, and Luke looks at the hand, and he looks at his hand, and he says, you failed, Your Highness. I'll never turn to the dark side. And he says, I'm a Jedi like my father. And then
before me, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he says, so be it, Jedi. That exchange, even today watching it, and I think I've seen this movie easily 55 times. I've seen this movie probably in my top five movies I've ever watched in my life the most.
Yeah.
I teared up watching it again today. It's like 50, 60 times I've watched this movie.
It's so good.
It's something about the journey. You know, George always talks about the hero's journey and like Luke and everything he's done. It's something about how evil and how good the Emperor is. It's the fact that Darth Vader is this evil character, but he's starting to come around, that Luke is winning. And it's something about Luke, you know, like, it's that moment in the Matrix, you know, what's he doing? He's starting to believe.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Luke believes. He fully believes. He is a Jedi Knight.
I am the Jedi Knight.
He's going to bring balance to the Force. Like and he's not going to be swayed by the Emperor. There's just something about that moment for me when I watch it that everything comes together and it's just so epic. It's such a yes.
Yeah.
We're going to win. You know?
Yeah. Oh, 100%. And my moment comes right after that. And it's when Darth just goes, no. No. And then he picks it. It's the moment when you finally realize he broke through.
Yeah.
Luke finally broke through, and it's all done in this moment. All these moments in this are pretty amazing, because I'll be honest, I don't think Mark Hamill's a very good actor.
No.
And there's moments right after this, like when Anakin's actually dying, and like Luke's face is just like the whole time he's like delivering, he's like, my son, like, yeah, all this stuff, and like Luke's face is just like, anyway, it really bothered me. But when Darth, and it also reminded me of the end of Return of the Sith.
No.
No. This is the good no. This is the one. And like the amount of pain that Luke is going through, and he's just like sitting there watching his son get tortured to death, essentially.
Yeah.
But yeah, that moment when he finally turns, you're just like, yes, thank God.
Here's what I want to know. So
we're
like,
going to win.
I wish, the one thing I kind of wish for this episode is that we had had somebody who was like alive when this movie came out and had been a big fan, like, mm-hmm, was like waiting, you know, like Riley would have been a good person. Maybe we'll ask about him, we'll see him later. But like, what I wonder is that when you're watching this movie in theaters, actually Riley was definitely not alive when this movie came out. He couldn't have been the right age, right? This movie came out almost 40 years ago.
I guess Riley he was probably alive. He'd probably just,
he's very young. Maybe, yeah, he saw it in theaters.
Maybe
we'll ask him about it. Yeah. But like when that scene is happening, do you think you're watching it as audience member and going, Vader is going to save Luke right now?
I think you have to.
You have to believe it's going to happen.
I think you have to believe it's going to happen, that something good's going to happen, because if not, then the bad guys just win. Luke Skywalker dies, and Luke Skywalker cannot die. You can't have the same movie where you lose Yoda and Luke. No way.
Yeah, I wonder what it would have been like watching all these movies for the first time, like as a young person.
I mean, when we get into our moments, there's definitely a couple things where it's just like, I can't imagine what this was like to see live for the first time before anyone talked about it, before it became a meme, before it became the most referenced film in pop culture, series in pop culture. Like, what were these moments like? What was it like to see the Force for the first time?
There's all these things, too, that I was thinking about when I was watching this time, where like, we see all this paraphernalia that gets put out there, toys and advertisements, and like, you know, when these new movies come out, we were just talking about the white sand with the red, you know, at the end of Last Jedi, mm-hmm, and like visually how cool that is, how memorable that is, the colors, the design, the ships, the lightsabers, you know, whatever, like Kylo's lightsaber, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about that, and I was like, I just remember as a kid seeing like the red Imperial Guards with the Emperor, and they're the only time you've seen them, I think, are those red Imperial Guards. I had the little Micro Machine toy versions of those things because I had that whole setup. Like, those little things as a little kid that are these irrelevant, tiny visual details,
mm-hmm,
they stick with you so much.
Oh, dude, I remember the game. I played the game like crazy.
Yep.
So fun. All of them. Stardew says, Andrew Guy Riley did say that when he was 8, he saw the Return of the Jedi.
Okay, gotcha, gotcha.
God, could you? That's so cool.
8 years old. That's such a good age to
have seen. Of course, he loves it. Yeah,
yeah.
so those are our fist pump guys. Let us know what your fist pumps are in the chat. We'd love to come and circle back around and read about them. But now we're going to get into star profile, so we can talk a little bit more about Harrison Ford and where he was at, along with Carrie Fisher and of course Mark Hamill. Mark Hamill did Britannia Hospital in 1982, The Night the Lights Went Out in Georgia in 1981, and of course The Empire Strikes Back in 1980. Carrie Fisher did Under the Rainbow in 1981, The Blues Brothers in 1980, and Star Wars Episode 5.
Yep.
Harrison Ford, on the other side of it, does Blade Runner in 1982, Raiders of the Lost Ark in 1981, and of course Empire Strikes Back. So it's just astronomically different.
Yeah, you can see. I mean, and that's the thing. You know, Harrison Ford came out of the series as a movie star. Everybody else came out as actors that had been in Star Wars.
Yeah.
Harrison Ford is remembered for Han Solo. He's remembered as, mm-hmm, as that's one of his characters, but it's arguable that Indiana Jones is as famous or more famous. You know, like Blade Runner obviously is this incredibly influential and impactful movie. And so he's doing this all around this time. You know, he does Witness and the Mosquito Coast all kind of right in here. And he's a big deal. He's a really, really, really big deal. And it's funny because I agree with you watching this movie. There's that scene at the beginning when they see each other, and it Han's like, what's he say? He's like, how's it going? Couldn't be better. You know, and he's like, and he's like, same as always. You know, the delivery of the lines, it's supposed to be sort of comic, like we're always in trouble, but it's also a little bit like, you guys don't want to be here.
You don't care.
Your delivery of these lines seems like you're over it.
Yeah.
You're like pretty over it. And I know Luke had his accident, his face gets all screwed up, and he, you know, so like, I think there's just, they had to finish the trilogy.
And Ford had, he insisted that they kill him off at the end of Empire.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. That's what people were saying in the chat, and that's something I definitely heard before. I think he wanted Jabba to kill him or something, like, or die in that thing.
That's true.
Yeah, right?
So I believe, and that might actually play into what you guys were talking about earlier with Harrison Ford not being, like, completely present in this one. I still think he's great in this movie, but he did want his character to die. But it just didn't go his way.
Yeah.
I think he's actually pretty good in general when he comes out of the carbonite. Like, I actually think he does a pretty good job.
Yeah, I'm okay with
it. Yeah. He's good with Jabba. Mm-hmm. Jabba goes, throw away a fortune. Don't be a fool. You know, I always love those lines. But anyway, yeah, looking at their careers, it definitely does feel like everybody is in a different place than Harrison Ford. And you wonder, too, you know, we've talked about this a lot, but, like, the concept of a movie star back then versus now. And I think we were talking about Jack in 1980 when he does The Shining and how, like, there was no social media. Like, there was no, like, internet. You were famous. You were this, like, upper echelon level of movie star where, like, you walked somewhere and you'd get mobbed because people couldn't believe it because, like, they didn't get to see live stream videos.
No, they only see you being a character in movies.
Yeah, and in a magazine. Maybe you do a photo shoot. Mm-hmm. The magazine comes out. They see it on the newsstand. Like, you wonder in the same way that Chevy Chase turned into, like, the biggest asshole in the entire world from what everyone talks about.
Yeah.
Right around the same time.
Heard about this.
That you wonder if Harrison Ford got, like, a big head also. I wonder if he did.
Well, I've heard Harrison Ford's an asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I've heard he's like very hot and cold, which is true because you'll see it. You'll see it in interviews where he's like very, like, just not having it, or he's like very short or very rude. But then you'll also see him do like these weird comedy sketches, like, or he'll have like David Blaine come to his house and do magic in his kitchen and like blow his mind. You're just like, what are you doing? Who are you, Harrison? You're so weird, but you're awesome.
I've told the story before when I met him when I was like 20 or whatever and sold him a bag at Nordstrom. I've told him this before.
Yeah.
And he wasn't a dick. He just was like, didn't say maybe five words. I worked with him for 15 minutes. He mostly pointed and grunted.
Yeah.
He I was like talking and trying to engage him and he just like, wasn't rude.
Remember that one time?
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Then our buddy Coy just went to the Ford Ferrari premiere, and he got to have a whole conversation with Harrison Ford about journalism. And Harrison Ford was awesome.
Yeah.
And they were like, and Ford was like, yeah, great. You get a picture of us? Like, you know, he was like, you want a picture? And like, grabbed somebody to take a picture of Coy. Like,
I mean, that's, I feel like he's maybe just one of those dudes that probably runs hot and cold. And that just happens when you've been that famous for that long. I think there's just days when you're just like, I don't want to deal with you people. I want to just live my life as a human.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about production development. Return of the Jedi went through a lot of behind the scenes changes. Lucas drew inspiration from a team of writers, and director Richard Marquand. The collaboration is what ultimately led to the final product we know today. Interesting. For example, Yoda was not originally meant to appear in the film, but Marquand strongly felt that returning to Dagobah was essential to resolve the dilemma raised by the previous film. Go ahead.
I'm good. I was just reading.
Yeah. So we can read some of this stuff. The inclusion led Lucas to insert a scene which Yoda confirms that Darth Vader is Luke's father, because after a discussion with a children's psychologist, he did not want younger moviegoers to dismiss Vader's claim as a lie. You know, that scene is interesting too, when Luke says that, and like Yoda's trying to like dodge the question. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to admit it's true. There's a bunch of stuff in this movie that, for whatever reason, this time through, after all these years, I like thought about a lot of what the character said and what it actually meant. If that makes any sense, you get so used to seeing a movie, you don't even question like the scenes and the words and what they even mean.
Right.
When the Emperor keeps saying to Luke in the Imperial Palace, and he's like, keeps calling him my young apprentice.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about that this time in a way whatever reason I never had. Like, they like haven't interacted yet. He's just saying that because he's trying to get in his head.
Yeah.
That's all he's doing.
It's great. I mean, that's the other thing is, like, there's so much incredible writing in the original three that you start to, like, what happened in the prequels? Because the prequels still have the amazing lines. You know, like, one of my favorite lines in the whole entire thing is the Yoda line about fear. But it's stuff like that that's just, it's small and it's subtle.
Yeah.
And I felt like Lucas lost a lot of his subtlety in the prequels, and it was more just like hit him on the head.
Yeah, right. Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, I love
limited power.
I remember noting that last night when he's like, he keeps calling him his young apprentice.
Yeah.
Apprentice.
Well, and so then when Yoda's like, arrest I must, and he's like, I need to know. Yes, he's your father. Like, why wouldn't you just tell him? You're about to be dead. What if you don't tell him?
and then he doesn't know.
You know, like, I guess it's like, you know, you're hesitant because you don't want him to go and confront him early. But he already did confront him early.
But
so
then Obi-Wan comes back and he asks him again, basically, like, why'd you lie to me? And so and then he tells him, you know, about what happened and who actually died and all that. So this was written by George Lucas and Lawrence Kasdan. And Kasdan claims that he told Lucas Return of the Jedi was a weak title, and Lucas later decided to name the film Revenge of the Jedi. The screenplay itself was not finished until rather late in pre-production, well after a production schedule and a budget had been created, blah, 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 blah. I'm so glad they didn't do that, because you can't have Revenge of the Jedi. That's not what Jedis do.
You just call it a different movie, Revenge of the Sith, later.
Yes, exactly. Which is fine, because the Sith, you think they would seek revenge, but you can't have Revenge of the Jedi.
I was thinking a lot about this. Like, okay, so right now in Star Wars, like, language, whatever mm-hmm. we want to call it, we say Sith. He's a Sith Lord.
Yeah.
Like, you're watching this movie right now, and you're like, oh, Palpatine's a Sith Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that, like, Lucas already knew... He already knew Sith as a word? Do you think that already existed in his mind when he was making this movie? Or do you think that's all stuff that he created later and, like, retroactively?
I'm not sure, but, you know, you think about the backstory that he lays out in this movie and how closely he follows it in The Phantom Menace. I'd like to give him the credit and make him think that he did.
Yeah.
It seemed like he'd kind of just gotten down this rabbit hole for years.
Right,
and
right,
had
right.
it all written out. Who knows? I mean, you guys probably know better in the chat. I mean, it sounds like even in this movie, the script wasn't finished. So who actually knows? But getting into critical and box office, this movie was produced by 20th Century Fox. It only cost $32.5 million to make. It opened May 25th of 1983, and it grossed $252 million domestic and additional $122 foreign for a grand total of $374 million, which is just astounding. And its opening weekend, it made all of its money back, $30.5 million, so just under. It was a three-day Memorial weekend.
Yeah, I mean, it's the craziest thing about the original trilogy is that, like, we're starting to get into the territory where these movies are, like, they feel more modern in our minds, I think, because Star Wars feels modern, because there's mm-hmm. so much stuff coming out all the time. But, I mean, the original Star Wars movie came out over 40 years ago, you know? Like,
yeah,
77 is the original Star Wars movie?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, over 40 years ago. This movie, the third movie in the original trilogy, is going to be 40 years old pretty soon. Like, these are old. These are old movies.
They're really old.
But, really old movies.
But they somehow just live on more so than any other movie like that. They've done something that no other film has done. And I honestly, truly believe, like, Lord of the Rings won't hold a candle to this in 20, 30 years, I don't think.
Not even close.
Not even close.
I mean, it doesn't...
There's no way they're going to make another three movies that are about, you know...
Even today, it doesn't.
No.
There's nothing else. I mean, like we've said before...
The only closest thing now is Marvel, but it's recency bias.
Yeah, Harry Potter. But, like, yeah. Harry Potter's faded off. Mm-hmm. I mean, those movies are really great, but, like, the Fantastic Beasts movies are not good. And they're not regarded as good. So.
The Hobbit movies weren't good, but we had the prequels.
Yeah.
So this movie, yeah, 8.3. It's the 80th greatest movie of all time on IMDb's top 250, and 81% on the tomato, and 94% from the audience. And I already know what your favorite line is.
Yeah,
it's my favorite line.
I already said it.
It's the best line.
Yeah. I'm a Jedi like my father.
Like my father before me. But I think instead now we can do our top five favorite moments from Star Wars.
100%.
I think this is a really fun thing.
What I want to do before we do our top five moments, just because I know we've got a bit of time here,
okay.
Is can we just talk about some of our like hilariously awesome Return of the Jedi moments? They don't have to be the greatest ever.
Right, okay.
Watching the movie again, I was struck by a character who I was told last night, his name's Salacious Crumb.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's the little rat-looking guy who sits with Jabba, and his laugh is like,
yeah.
I was like, man, what an annoying character. Like, I wonder who did the voice for that character.
Yeah.
The laugh needs to be a little more shit-weaselly. I feel like if we had, like, an entourage.
Sounds like Eric from Billy Madison.
I feel like if we had an entourage, like, we were, like, douchebag actor-producer guys who, like, went to clubs. If we had, like, a buddy who sat with and who laughed like that.
Oh, yeah.
Every time we, like, made a joke, he'd be, like, sitting next to us. Like,
I want that guy.
Yeah.
Let's see. Some of my favorite moments in this. Yoda's death always was, like, really sad. Even last night when I was watching it, I was just like, ah, man, he's Yoda. How do you kill Yoda?
Yeah.
It seems appropriate, but, yeah, that was definitely a big-time bummer. I love that I typed in top 10 Return of the Jedi moments on Google.
Yeah.
And one of them just says dead Ewok. That's all it says. It's so sad.
I think other things from this movie. There's all these little moments. I think when you talk about a movie like Star Wars, like with these movies that have been watched so many times,
mm-hmm.
There are little tiny things that always stand out to you. So Admiral Akbar saying, "It's a trap."
Yeah, like, yeah, I love "It's a trap."
There's just like, or the guy with the
what?
Big eyes and the looking flaps on his face.
And he
shows him laughing. He's like,
Neenub.
Wow.
His name is Neenub.
Nerd. Got him. No, Admiral Akbar in general is just amazing.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a huge fan.
Admiral Akbar, definitely.
I do love when Jabba finally dies.
Yeah.
It just needs to happen.
Yep.
I just hated Jabba. as a kid. What I will say is last night I was like, oh, here it comes. Here's the unveiling of Darth, and James Earl Jones' voice is gone.
Yeah.
And now we hear this actor's voice.
Right.
I remember it just being not very good as a kid.
Yeah.
I loved it actually last night.
It was totally fine.
It was so great. And like, I think as a kid, you expect him to be like awesome looking
right.
or something, but that can't be the case.
It's also just a shame for James Earl Jones. I feel like it's a bummer that this happens.
Right. And this is not him.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard like jokes. Like, I remember, I think it's in Chasing Amy when the one character is like, "You take out this brother's helmet, and he's a feeble, crusty old white man." Yeah. Like, you know, there's like jokes about it that people tell. But like, I think the real truth of the matter is James Earl Jones is legendary. His voice is legendary for multiple characters, but Darth Vader at the top of the list.
Yeah.
When the helmet comes off, the fact that it's not James Earl Jones,
it's a bummer.
Is a bummer.
It's a total bummer.
I'm like, I was thinking about it today, and I was like, man. I guess it wouldn't have made any sense because...
Yeah, I mean, you think about it, it's the 70s, and it's, you know, like, how are they going to do... Because they would just have to have cast an African-American Luke.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with that. If the movie was made today, that's exactly what would have happened.
Yeah, but, like, the thing is, they say Anakin was just, like, created by the Force.
Yeah, that's true. Right?
Right? You can explain anything with the Force.
You really can.
Yeah.
It's horse shit. Should have been James Earl Jones.
Yeah, right.
And honestly, it feels like it's one of the reasons... why his career was always more about his voice than about his face.
Totally.
Because he's got the greatest voice.
Totally agree. He did have a good 80s, 90s career.
Uh-huh.
He's in a bunch of stuff. He's in a movie called Best of the Best, which I'm planning on watching this week. Have you ever heard of it?
No.
It's like an early 90s, like Bloodsport style movie. Like,
okay.
like the American kids have to fight against the, like, I don't know, I can't remember who they're fighting. It might be like the Korean like national team taekwondo
uh-huh.
kind of a deal, but it's like one of those movies. And James Earl Jones is like the American instructor.
Really?
It's one of these movies that like my brother, like people my brother's age, they grew up loving Best of the Best.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah, like they loved it. There was like three of them kind of a thing.
Best of the Best.
Best of the Best.
Any good martial arts training movie. Okay, let's do our five favorites from
all
this.
Right,
okay?
All right. I'll jump in first with mine, and I will say, just because we've already said it, I'm a Jedi like my father before me. That moment when Luke proclaims, mm-hmm. that to me is my favorite single Star Wars thing ever. So I will just say that that's my number one. That goes first on my list.
Yeah, and then my number five is actually my thesis as well. That this gave us the most underrated, overlooked villain in film history, in The Emperor.
Yeah, and I do have Ian McDiarmid on here. I think the reason that I write down Ian McDiarmid and even just beyond just Emperor Palpatine is because it feels like what he does... in both characters, as Emperor Palpatine, Darth Sidious, mm-hmm. that is his character, Darth Sidious, right?
Yeah.
Later. When you see him as an older character, but he's obviously playing the younger version in the prequels, mm-hmm. he's like one of the only great things about the prequels. And then it even goes beyond what he does as a legitimate thing when he becomes ridiculous and memeable. And he says unlimited power. All his ridiculous stuff, where he's like totally out over the top,
yeah.
is also awesome.
It's awesome. It really is.
It's absurd, but it's also awesome.
He's like just, fighting Yoda in the
he's
Senate.
Just, he's just great. He's just yeah. generally great. Here's my question. Let's just say you go over to your girlfriend's family's house and in fictional world, and her uncle is Ian McDiarmid. Or... it's not Ian McDiarmid. He's just a man who looks and sounds identical to Ian McDiarmid.
Oh, no.
Can you ever trust him? Ever? Or are you just sure the family's evil?
I'm pretty sure that he would hate me by the end of the first hour of me being there. I'd be like, pass the mashed potatoes with your unlimited power. Like, God damn it. God damn it, I'm not him.
I feel like he's one of those types of people where he just looks evil.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I always talk about this with Guy Pearce.
Yeah.
Like, if that guy showed up and, like, offered me a golden trinket, I would think it was poisoned or something. He just looks like an asshole.
Right.
Even totally. Though he's probably a nice guy.
Never met Guy Pearce. I don't know.
I have not either. All right, what's your number four?
I didn't rank him, because okay. I already think I went with my number one. But I will say that the concept of a Jedi is really high up there for me.
Okay.
I think, like when you say, like, Jedi Knight, like, you think about the amount of culture that has revolved around Star Wars things, right? So, like, using the Force, the Jedi, the training, the sort of, like, it's very inspired by, like, samurai, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's very much sort of what it is, but... I think when you talk about, like, in sports, you talk about, like, you need to be calm, focused, powerful. It's all just Jedi stuff.
All the Jedi stuff.
It's all Jedi stuff. Like, the idea of winning
at life. Never be angry when you're fighting, like, things like
that. Being zen, right? Like, that's sort of... Phil Jackson feels like he's basically just trying to get his guys to be Jedis all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
him and Popovich.
Yeah, it feels like you know, the concept of a Jedi, and then they have these, like, that they fight with lightsabers, not blasters.
I know. So sick.
There's so many sweet things
horrible
about Jedi, like, over the years. You know, it's like, you think about Obi-Wan, you think about Alec McGinnis.
There's another droid you're looking for.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, that you, like, can wave that, your hand.
Like, ah, so cool.
You can get what you want, move, but you would never stuff. Use... You could rob a bank, but you never would.
But you never would.
You'd never use your powerful evil.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, the honor of the Jedi.
The honor of a Jedi. It's a great concept. It's mm-hmm. a concept that has really endured. You think about things that are introduced in movies from the 70s, like yeah. late 70s. Like, there's so few things I can think of that have endured, like the concept of a Jedi.
Yeah, that's very true. All right, so my next one that I have here is the Obi-Wan and Darth fight. As a kid, I don't know why it stuck with me so much, and it still did. And when we covered A New Hope, I guess it was probably almost a year ago now.
Yeah.
I just love that fight. And it's the moment, too, of you talk about being a Jedi. And it's like, he like, sacrifices himself, essentially. Like,
right.
The most Jedi thing to do. And he doesn't even really fight.
Right.
He's just distracting him for just long enough.
And
then he's ready to go. And he just disappears.
Yeah.
Like, just Obi-Wan in general, from Ewan to this.
Yeah.
It was just, I love him.
Alec
so
Guinness
much.
Is, yeah, he's, I mean, he's
and
a legend.
Alec McGinnis.
It's McGinnis.
It's McGinnis.
I think, unless I'm incorrect, the only performance Oscar nomination in the history of Star Wars is Alec Guinness in Star Wars, right?
I believe so.
And I think also that he, was he supporting actor nomination? That seems, that,
that
seems
sounds right.
right.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like that's...
Just all of his lines and the backstory and just the way that he sounds when he talks. It's amazing.
Honorary award winner. Supporting role. It's New Hope. Oh, well, no. That's a Golden Globe nomination. Was he not nominated for...
I thought he was.
No, he was. Yeah. Okay.
What do you got next?
Next up, I'm going to go with the character of Han Solo.
Okay. That's funny. I actually had that written down and erased it for the next one that I have.
Yeah, I think for me, the reason that I say that is that all the different things that have come out of Star Wars, like we talk about Jedi, lightsabers, the Force, whatever, like... Han Solo is the ultimate original. I like him even, like, way more than Indiana Jones. He's like kind of a scallywag. He's kind of a scoundrel. He's a thief. He's a smuggler, but he's, like, honorable. He's got a good heart, you know, like,
that swagger, man.
He's got that swagger. He's a total badass, but he also isn't, like, he's like the everyman badass.
Well, and so many of us had our first or one of our biggest original crushes in the world on Princess Leia, and he was the guy that won her over.
He was the guy.
He was like, oh man, if you're gonna get the princess
of
the galaxy, like, that level, you gotta be like Han Solo.
Yeah, I will say, I considered the jackets of Star Wars being on here, because I remember a few years ago trying to buy this jacket, and I bought a jacket, and I wear it still. I like it. It's not what I hoped it was going to be when I bought it.
You thought it'd make you look like Han Solo?
I just wanted a Han Solo jacket. Well, there's also, like, a lot of sweet jackets. Like, do you remember the yellow jacket that Luke wears in the ceremony at the end of Star Wars?
Yes.
Yeah. It's, like, a really cool looking, kind of looks like a 70s, like, motorcycle jacket almost. There's a lot of great jackets in Star Wars.
There's a lot of good costume design in general. I wanted all of Queen Amidala's wardrobe.
You did.
I did. And her makeup.
And your mother bought it for you.
She did.
You had the Caesar haircut, and
there it is. Yeah,
it's a great jacket, right?
Sweet.
I feel like that's like a Ford Ferrari jacket. That's like,
it was like when Drive came out and everyone started getting that, like, white puffy jacket with a scorpion on the back,
kind of like silky looking thing. Uh-huh, uh-huh. Yeah. Anyway, but Han Solo, just as a character, I just think his best friend is Chewbacca.
Chewbacca.
You know, are you a Han Solo or a Han Solo?
This
guy?
Is, you know, you said this before the show. In the movie, Lando calls him Han. Yeah. And Luke calls him Han.
Yeah, and it's one of the only examples I can think of in a movie like of this level where a key character is, his name is pronounced differently by two different characters.
The biggest character maybe of all. In it. Yeah, so what, I don't know. Ryan, what are you, Han or Han?
Absolutely Han. More people call him Han. I mean, when he goes in Force Awakens, she's like, Han Solo. Rey calls him Han.
Han sounds like a dumbass.
I always thought it was Han, but then you definitely meet guys that
they
say
all,
Han.
Yeah, they do.
And I think that George Lucas says Han Solo.
And it's totally, because that's the type of guy that says Han.
Yeah.
It's like when you know it's, I get it, it's Jaguar.
Yeah.
Just say Jaguar. Just say it. Don't Jaguar. Say Jaguar.
Jaguar. Jaguar.
That's a Jaguar. Kill him. Or like Porsche.
Yeah,
like,
okay. This guy, he's a Jaguar. Get it out of here.
Ball nose. All right. So my next one up, is the idea of a lightsaber.
Oh, okay.
Because you mentioned it, you're like, things that stood the test of time. But the lightsaber, even now, people are still trying to build real lightsabers.
Yeah, and they
get them at home, and there's all these cosplay things. But the idea of a lightsaber as a kid was the coolest thing.
Yeah.
Because, like, I was obsessed with knives when I was a kid.
Okay.
And, like, the butterfly knife is, like, the thing that you twirl around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then when you mess up, you'll cut yourself. Because
right.
The blade will close on your hand. It hurts. The idea of training to use a lightsaber, that is unforgiving as hell.
Yeah.
You mess up once and your leg's gone, your arm's gone.
Right.
You killed someone. It's not the same thing.
Do you like it when Vader throws his lightsaber?
Kind of, but
I
not
dislike
really.
It.
Yeah.
When I watched it this time, I actually found, because then he has it back in his hand pretty quickly. They don't really show him going, like, pick it up.
It feels like he should just boomerang it.
Yeah, right.
You know, like,
totally.
They had that in the video game, actually. There's a sweet, like, throwing lightsaber and it comes back to you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I think that's what they should have done. Yeah, that sounds very dangerous. How did you learn to do that? But yeah, just the idea of a lightsaber, and still to this day, when you see, like, really, really well-made, fan-made, like, cosplay lightsabers, you're still like, holy shit, you made a lightsaber.
What's the best color of lightsaber? I want to know. I want to know from the audience. What's the single best
Do you color? Have your favorite?
Jeez, man. I mean, okay.
Do you have your favorite lightsaber?
I believe I do. I believe it's the blue lightsaber that belonged to Anakin that Luke uses, that he's originally... Isn't he given a blue lightsaber to start? That's his first one.
I believe so.
That's the one that he loses when he loses his hand.
I think so. That sounds right.
The blue lightsaber was always my favorite.
I have to admit, I actually love Kylo's broadsword lightsaber.
You do?
I do.
Yeah.
And, like, in the trailer now, where it shows him, like, pick someone up with one of the things and, like, body slam it, I cannot wait for that moment.
Yeah.
I love it. I love the dual lightsaber from Darth, but the broadsword is just badass.
You mean, from Darth Maul. Okay. Macra said, is this his father's? Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, okay, we got red, we got Triblade, we got green, we got Kylo's, everybody, blue, I'm a fan of blue, says Channels,
no
purple.
No one said the purple one.
No, AJ Lancaster says purple.
There he is.
He likes the Mace Windu lightsaber. Is he the worst principal character in the history of Star Wars?
Yeah.
Mace Windu?
Yeah, 100%.
He gets a lot of screen time.
He does, and then he dies.
Yeah. I don't hate him, but
I don't hate him, but it's just why? It's like Matt Damon in Inception. Just
right.
Put someone else in there that's not as distracting.
Interstellar, you mean?
Oh, yeah. Inception. Yeah, Interstellar. Dooku's lightsaber. Okay. But yeah, for sure, for me, it's the tri-saber, I guess is what it's called.
Matt Ryan, the BMF
Tri-blade.
Saber is purple. The BMF. all right, do you have one more?
Oh, yeah. I think we got two more. So my other one is Yoda. Just Yoda.
Yoda, period.
Just Yoda, period. The way that he speaks, the amount of knowledge that guy has dropped over the last four decades. But my favorite Yoda line is, of course, fear leads to anger leads to suffering. Fear leads to anger leads to hate leads to suffering, and I sense much fear in you.
Yeah.
Still my favorite line of all time.
Really?
From Yoda.
Even more so than any line that comes in the original movies.
Yeah. I just love it.
It's a good line.
I mean, it's the same thing that happened when we covered Phantom Menace. We were like, did that really come from the prequels?
This movie? Yeah.
That is the best thing about the prequels then.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Yoda's pretty sweet. You know, again, it's crazy just to think, like, this is what we talked about when we were talking about Pulp Fiction and the impact of that movie on culture. And talking about all of Quentin Tarantino's other movies and other auteurs that were in the same sort of class as him. And, like, how iconic these different Pulp Fiction things are. Star Wars is singular in this way that, like, when we talked about Harry Potter...
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of almost anything from Harry Potter that's even like...
I could talk like Yoda to my mom, and she would understand the reference from Star Wars.
That's what I'm saying. Jedi,
you know?
Lightsaber, yeah. Yoda, Han Solo, The Force, Darth Vader. Like, there are so many things that if you make reference to that everybody in a room knows what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
The Patronus charm, zero idea. Most people would have any idea what I'm talking about.
Nope.
The Voldemort, maybe my mom.
Yeah.
No, guaranteed my mom does not know who Voldemort is.
Yeah, no, my mom doesn't know who Voldemort
is. If I ask every member of my family the character of He Who Shall Not Be Named, what character am I talking about?
Right.
Doubtful anyone in my family
knows. If you go... Even though they say it wrong, if you go, Luke, I am your father, to someone, even though it's not the real line, or even like, no, I am your father, in that voice, everyone knows.
No question.
Not even a thing.
I'm trying to literally think, what is the number two most famous franchise ever that has something like, if this is the most iconic franchise ever, which it is, what's the second most iconic franchise ever that has even like one thing on the same level?
I guess Lord of the Rings.
What's the thing?
You one shall not ring, pass.
One ring to rule them all.
Maybe.
Jaws.
Jaws, just because of the music?
Da-na.
gonna need a bigger boat.
No way.
We need a bigger boat. No.
Not even close. I literally can't think of anything in the history of movies. To me, it would have to be something like franchises. Like, maybe, like, there's no place like home or something like that in Wizard of Oz.
Maybe.
Make him an offer he can't refuse, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe.
It's just nothing Back to the Future. Now, I don't even think there's anything from Back to the Future. Nothing from Lethal Weapon. But the thing is that you have to find the. It's not just the movie.
Yeah.
It's the one line. Yippee-ki-yay, motherfuckers. But that's not
like,
quite.
Literally, all the things we're talking about, I'm like, you can't compare any of these to even one of the six None Star Wars that I just named.
Yeah.
You know, like, they're all. It's crazy. It is a singular phenomenon that the world will probably never see something like it.
What's your number one?
The last one I have.
Oh.
I was going to say one in particular, and I think I should. It's the music of John Williams.
Yes.
And specifically, it is the original theme. It's the theme that plays after A Long Time Ago in a Galaxy Far, Far Away. Even that, A Long Time Ago in a Galaxy Far, Far Away. If I say that, then everyone knows what
yeah,
I'm talking
exactly,
about.
Exactly.
Literally, you say that, you write it, like it happens and it's the coolest thing ever. I remember like tearing up, hair on my arm standing up when I saw the Falcon in the trailer for Force Awakens.
Yeah,
it just gets me and it's amazing and it's the most amazing score. It's probably the most amazing piece of movie music ever written is that one theme.
Well, it's too, because every time for the longest time when you would hear that music for these three movies, you knew you were going to have one of the best next 2 hours of your life.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, oh no, what's going to happen? It was like, yes, there's the sound and now we're on the ride. Let's do this. And my very last one is the greatest what the fuck moment of all time. The biggest, greatest, holy shit moment.
I'm your father?
I'm your father.
That's your number one.
That's the number one moment.
That's a great one.
Just like, imagine that. Imagine that. Watching this in theaters. Watching Empire in theaters. As a kid. As a 12-year-old.
Couldn't believe it.
Like, there was that thing that happened last year, and it went around. It happens every like once every couple of years, where parents will videotape them showing their kids the moment of Darth Vader.
Yeah.
And then they'll be like, a 10-year-old kid be like, no, Dad, no, what? And, you know, and they're like, it's just amazing. It's so pure and honest, and it's genuine, and it's exactly how you had to have felt when you found that out the first time.
Yeah, I mean, the good versus evil nature of Star Wars is such a unique thing that, like, that moment as a child is just so impactful. We were talking about last week with Kelsey Kirkland, who's a general in the Action Army. We were talking about with Kelsey about it, and she was like, yeah, I have kids, and when they've watched these Star Wars movies, the stuff you're talking about, all the nuanced like weirdness of like, this is going to happen, they don't know any of that stuff.
Right.
They're just paying attention to like the biggest, most in-your-face. And that
at
is
that moment.
Such a big in-your-face moment. You know how evil Darth Vader is. You know because he kills Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah.
You know because he wears all black and he wears an evil-looking hood.
He has an evil voice.
And his lightsaber is red.
I love the red
and black.
Yeah.
You know. And Luke hates him. Luke's
see him,
the hero.
Just choke people to death.
You see him blow up a planet.
Yeah.
You see him cut off Luke's hand. He's cut off Luke Skywalker's
hand.
The
hero. The person you think is indestructible.
Ah! And then he's Luke's father?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Like the greatest.
Yeah.
Like George Lucas, can't when he wrote it. That, can you imagine what he must like?
Oh, there you go. That's a good twist.
we were hanging out with, and I don't know. We probably shouldn't even talk about what we did, but we were hanging out with. His name is escaping me right now.
We were actually hanging out with each other, and we ran into them.
No, the guy who does the, Josh Robert Thompson.
Yeah,
and he does the George Lucas impression. He does the deep fake one. You guys have been seeing on the internet. And
so good.
He was just riffing on it for a little while, and we were like, you know, like, why'd you come up with that idea? And he was like, eh, I was pretty drunk for the creation of all those films.
Like, pretty wasted.
He's just like kind of coming up with it, and
he's like, what it is? He's like, Harrison gave me a whole bag of edibles.
He's just riffing on it. It was really funny, but just like the idea, like you wonder where Lucas was when he came up with the idea that you know he was going to be his father. Like, do you think he knew? Because that's something that I've thought about a lot. Because you see it in this movie. When Leia says, I know, somehow I've always known, it's like, well, then why'd you kiss him in the last movie?
I know.
That, it's weird that you made out with your brother. Weird. If you've always known, then why'd
sure
you make
brother,
out with him?
And I've always known, but here we go.
So when did Lucas know all that stuff? And this is stuff that these are questions we're asking that I guarantee have been revealed somewhere that you guys in the chat probably all know the answer to these questions. But, you know.
Let us know.
Yeah,
because we don't. So those are our top five Star Wars moments from each of us. Not the greatest, not the most important, just our five favorites.
Yeah.
AMA question. I don't believe we have an AMA question today. Ryan, what's your favorite? Did we not mention a Star Wars moment that you feel like is One of your favorites?
Mine's very close to Ben's. It's right before it. It's when Vader and Luke are standing off. They're fighting each other, and at one point Luke's hiding, and he's like, I sense you're not going to change, but maybe your sister will. And then he's like, perhaps she'll turn. Yeah. And he shouts never and ignites his blade and goes after him. Oh, my God. The emotion in that scene is...
And Luke's so angry. Ooh. Yeah, I know. He says, Obi-Wan was wise to hide her from me.
Yeah.
And what's he saying? He's like, if you will not return, then perhaps she will.
Like, never.
No.
If you will not turn to the dark side, then perhaps she will.
Yeah. I mean, again, like,
his voice, man.
It's amazing.
It's just the best.
What's
the
your best timing. James Earl Jones impression? How deep can you go?
I'd have to practice.
It sounds like a high. It sounds like he sounds like James Earl Jones. Someone's got his balls.
Yeah,
when you're talking.
Can I throw one more thing out there?
Yeah, what do you got?
Another thing I feel you were talking about Yoda, and people have talked about this before, but like that is a puppet.
Yeah,
and it is maybe the most iconic character in any movie, and even a huge resurgence with Mandalorian Baby Yoda.
Yeah,
it is amazing that puppet we care so much about. And it's so wise, and you just buy it. That is
totally
unparalleled. I mean, no other franchise could do that.
If there was a meme Oscars, Baby Yoda would run away with it.
Oh, yeah.
It just came out of nowhere.
Best new character of the year.
Best new character of the year.
Yeah.
Massive.
I think you could, like, then perhaps she will.
Perhaps she will.
Oh, you get some nice resonance in there.
I can do it.
That's pretty good.
Yes.
All right, guys, there are only three categories left. I combined two segments there. There are three categories to talk about. An action movie lore, totally ridiculous, totally legitimate, and ridiculously legitimate.
Interesting.
I think that Return of the Jedi is totally legitimate because it wraps up the trilogy. It's regarded as a great trilogy. It's regarded as a great movie that wraps up. And it has... it's rooted at the end because you get all the stuff in the throne room.
Yeah.
It feels like the only thing that really would push this into like the silly category really is we didn't talk about Jabba like or the sail barge or any
like
of that
the
stuff.
Ewoks and like the them like roasting Han Solo. Weren't they gonna like cook him or something?
Yeah.
All tied up. Like,
that stuff
all that.
Is silly.
It's a little silly, and most of the stuff in the beginning with Jabba is. I'd have to go middle category.
You're going to go ridiculously legit?
I think I do. I really do.
I go totally legit.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. But I just feel the stuff. Like, literally everything that I just mentioned, and then the kiss and the brother when she already knew, and just the stuff. It just feels a little bit away from totally legit.
Here's my question. I was thinking about this while I was watching it.
The music scene, dude.
What?
The music scene.
Oh, yeah. That's a good It's not in the movie, though. It's in the re-released garbage version. God, I hate that scene. No, I was thinking about this. All right, so Jabba, he gets choked out by Princess Leia.
Yeah.
She's got the chain. I guess if he has like henchmen and hench people that are like, I'm going to make sure that he stays safe, that no one can mess with him, then I guess that's how he's protected. But like, wouldn't one of those hench people just strangle him to death? Because like, he can't protect himself at all. He's a giant slug with tiny arms.
And he's horrible, and then you could just be him.
Right.
You'd think so.
I was thinking, why didn't somebody just murder Jabba at a different point?
I think he's got enough people around him that there's always one loyal person that would, you know?
Okay.
You have to do that if you're those guys.
Yeah.
That's what movies have told us about being crime lords.
We didn't talk about the Sarlacc pit.
I thought about that immediately,
Boba Fett.
Though. Yeah. I don't really care about
Boba the Fett.
Boba the Fett. yeah, the Sarlacc pit's cool. It's definitely better than, is that the thing in the sand? No, Sarlacc's, what's the thing underground?
It's the dick that comes out of the ground.
Yeah, that thing.
Yeah, yep.
I believe that's what it's called. Yeah, the Sarlacc pit I definitely like more than the monster.
Oh, the Rancor.
The Rancor, yeah.
Yeah, the Rancor.
It did not age well. Not at all.
And also, my favorite part about the Rancor is the guy, the trainer, who runs in and he's got the, like, helmet.
Oh, and he's crying?
And he's like, he's real out of shape. And he runs in there. I was like, I know this is not supposed to be funny, but there's a lot of intentional comedy going on right now.
Really stupid.
That's a costume I feel like I should do for Halloween one year. This guy here. This guy on screen. I think we're throwing him up on.
Oh, yeah. This guy. That guy's real important.
Yeah, he is. He is. I feel like, okay, another question.
Huh.
How about this is your girlfriend's uncle. He dresses like this, too.
I would not talk to him.
You wouldn't.
I would say hello and goodbye.
You'd be weirded out.
I'd be very weirded out.
Why are you here at Christmas dressed
this way? And he like cries every now and then weirdly, like at odd commercials.
You're cutting the turkey at Thanksgiving and he starts crying. Like, what do you do? Is it your turkey? I mean, what are we doing?
He's just like, oh, it just reminds me of jail. Yeah. And you're like, what?
Weird guy. Weird guys. Anyway.
Really long hugs.
All right, there's only one last thing to talk about. It's called the pitch.
The pitch.
We already did the pitch earlier in the episode. Yep. We are going to be doing a full spoiler, full review, 12:01 on Wednesday morning after we've seen The Last Skywalker. I know it's called The Rise of Skywalker. Joke never gets old.
And it won't.
And we're going to be doing that, 12:01. It'll be available, obviously, on the channel next week if you guys want to watch it and listen to it. You don't want to deal with the spoilers.
Ryan, is there a way for us to like re-premiere the episode? There isn't, right?
Re-premiere.
No, right?
No, we can't re-premiere it, but we can put up excerpts.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
that'd be cool.
And remember, go check out Action Industries. You guys can see a full First Thoughts review on our channel, 12:01. We're going to be doing that, so both are going to go up. Big shout-out to a few generals in the Army. Andrew Hayes, Billy Belford, John Patterson, Jake Iacovetta, Kelsey Kirkland, Nick Gilmore, Cody Seal, Tamor Buddha, AJ Lancaster, Sri Lemon Maki, Jason Lasky, Oscar Romo, Danny Joyce, and Liam Gilpin, plus five-star generals, Brianne Chandler, Jeremiah Morris, Mac Ryan, John Getz, Jake Iacovetta, Lucas Shashek, Alex McFarlane, Kyle Grandinetti, and Paul DeNuzio. Boom! Thank you to everybody.
Salute.
Bye, guys.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners.